What is going on, Panthers Nation? Carolina Dad here, your host of the True Crowds One More Podcast. Folks, we are a week away, at least as I record this, and maybe I'm getting a little too hyped, because who knows when you're going to watch this. We are a week away from the Carolina Panthers making their selections in the NFL draft as we sit back. As we sit back and watch all the other NFL fans and teams have fun on the first day of the NFL draft. We're just going to be sitting back waiting. Hey, folks, if you are here, please hit the subscribe button. That is, folks that are watching on YouTube, if you are listening on the audio-only podcast, you can hit the follow button. Folks, got to do a lot more call to action. We have 36,000 people tuning into the show at some point over the last 3 months. But only 570 people have subscribed. And hey, even taking this further, I think we hit 31 total countries outside of the U.S. that are watching this show. One, thank you, thank you, thank you. However, we got to get those subscribers up, continue to grow. One, hey, that's an open door for monetization, which means better mic quality, better video quality, better guests, right? Speaking of guests, like, hey, I haven't even had an official guest outside of Nolan, and Nolan's the man. So anyways, hey, folks, we got a lot to digest. It's been a busy week. We got to hear from Dan Morgan, got to hear from Dave Canales, both in a joint presser. Joint presser leading us up to the start of the NFL draft, or at least talking through some of their plans. Also got to hear from A'shaun Robinson this week, Josie Jewell, and Dane Jackson. Quite a busy week. And folks, hey, if you are plugged into the show, just know that the Two Growls One Roar website, it's twogrowlsoneroar.com website, is up and running. Content is starting to flow. These next few days is going to be busy video content because my wife is out of town. She's got Pearson. Nolan is at a friend's house. I'm home alone, which is why you hear me so loud. Loud and probably super obnoxious, and wouldn't be surprised if the neighbors know who I think the Panthers are going to pick at the end of this weekend. By the time everything is said and done, it would not surprise me. But hey, I really do appreciate y'all, folks, man. Looking back, and I love to do look backs, you probably say, why do you keep looking back? As far as the plays on the actual podcast, we are nearing an average of 90 downloads per episode, which says a lot considering, you know, a year ago, I like to round it roughly a year ago, we're talking 2 to 3 downloads per episode. So it continues to flourish. And I think it has to do with great folks who are tuning in that share the word. Words of encouragement, whether you listen one time, however many times, I truly appreciate it. Folks, we got a lot to talk about the NFL draft, and it's hard to decide where to start. You know, we've done the mock drafts. I've posted mock drafts. I think today I might look at a sample mock draft that was published by one of the websites that I follow. We'll talk about it. I think a few things came out of the Dave Canales presser. It would be good to talk about significant pieces. One, got to hear a lot from Dave Canales, your head coach of the Carolina Panthers, around the culture that he is trying to build in this building, making himself present and known, getting out in the hallways, sitting in different meetings. He's talked about never being able to do this. You know, he's focused on wide receivers. He's focused on quarterbacks. He's focused on offensive coordinator. He gets to sit on a defensive line meeting to learn about stunts, or an outside linebacker meeting to learn about rushing. He's never been a part of those things. He says he's just like, you know, just like us, sitting in the back of the meetings, taking notes, soaking it all in, because those are things that he was never a part of. But the thing he emphasizes is building the culture, getting the Panther fit. That's going to be the new term. Alignment, we already know, is the buzzword of this staff so far. Alignment, getting consistency across the board. But it sounds like it's making progress. Like, we are making progress in that department. And you hope it translates into wins on the field, because that's what we want, folks. We want winning football in the Carolinas, right? You want to be able to wear your Panthers gear proudly in public and not have people say, oh my gosh, you're a Panthers fan. I'm so sorry. Speaking of which, got a sad story for you. I went out, guess it was yesterday, was leaving for work. Sarah's leaving town and going out, so it's just me, and of course no one's at school. I go in to get my car, go to work, okay, get the gas, not the gas light, my gosh, the tire light comes on. For some reason, our family just loves to get tires, nails in our tires. Everywhere we go, there's objects in tires. Most of the time, we can patch them. Sometimes we can't patch them. So I was sitting there like, okay, hopefully they're going to be able to patch this. But anyways, I go out and look. I'm thinking, oh, let me put some air in the tire. So I have the notification that the front right is, you know, I don't know what percentage, like 6, 7, 8. No. 16 PSI, something crazy. I go out and look. Sure enough, that thing is like flat. Get a notification that the back one, back right rear passenger side, is also same thing. I don't remember what the PSI is. That one's a little bit better, like 30 PSI. I'm getting somewhere with this. So I go in, look, see that there's a big nail right in the middle. I'm like, okay, they're going to definitely be able to plug this, not patch it, plug it. So they were able to plug it. I go look at the other back tire, like nothing's wrong. But I was like, okay, let me get out the air compressor, put some air in it, make sure that it's able to sustain. I'll let it sit for a few hours. If it can hold, I'll fill it up right before I go to my appointment to get it, you know, have them take a look at it and fix it. Well, I'm out there scrambling and I'm like, okay, let me at least get some air in the tires. And I sit there for probably 15 minutes. With the air compressor on, and I don't know if you're familiar with an air compressor. We have a very small air compressor tank. On the side, there's, so you know, you pull the little, I don't even know, plug to like let all the air out, but you also have to turn the knob, and that gets rid of everything. Because like you pull it out a few times, like, doesn't get everything out. So you turn the other knob at the bottom, lets all the air out. That way you're like clean, stuff doesn't build up. You don't want that to happen, gets all the moisture out. The last time I used it, and I always do it, I leave it off, like open that valve up. Sure enough, I had that valve running. So I'm sitting there rushing to get the both tires pumped so that I can take it to get it fixed because I have 30 minutes to spare. Place is 15 minutes away. The clock's ticking. I sit there and like air is coming out. I've got like my PSI gauge checking it. Nope. Why is it losing air? It's like this makes no sense. I hear the air. The tank's pumping. Turns out I left the valve on. So I'm just pushing nothing in and pulling everything out. So I get that fixed. This is going somewhere. Go to the shop, tire shop. I've been there quite a few times, I guess, unfortunately. But they're great folks. And I'll shout them out. Hey, Meineke Car Care. That's who it was. It was Meineke Car Care out here in Leland, North Carolina. If you want to get very specific, shout out to this dealership. No idea if they'll ever watch. Come in and say, hey, man. I've got a nail, got the appointment. Can you take a look? Sure, bring it back. Hey, take it back, look at it, and go on. And like, yeah, we can get it. We're going to be able to plug it better than a patch. So they plug it up, comes back in, says, all right, you're good to go. And I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, yeah, you're good to go. You don't have to pay anything. He's like, yeah, you know. You got that Panthers hat on. I just feel so bad for you. I was like, dude, what do you mean, man? It's like he's like, you got it bad enough as it is. So I do appreciate him, man, for hooking me up on that and taking care of the tire. But that's what Panthers fans are having to deal with in public, man. I don't care. I wear my Panther stuff every day. I wear it out as much as I want. It doesn't bother me, man. And people know that's the team that's for. But that's what we want to get to. So we talk about a culture fit. I mean, he said he was studying the headshots, which is part of what I try to do, of all these players. So you can like recognize name and face. But, you know, people change between their headshot from the previous team and this year. So he was able to go in, start learning players' names, sitting in meetings, getting a new culture established here. And we want to talk about culture. We want to talk about a winning culture because that's what we want. He's been a part of a winning culture in Seattle. Saw it last year in Tampa Bay, and now as he takes over the team here. But that was the first thing that we heard. Kind of the bigger summary of Dave Canales outside of the nuts and bolts of, hey, what do you like, with the draft here, and here? What are you thinking about? Dan Morgan, also part of that presser. Few things that came out of that. There's this new, like you just heard me say, we are looking for a Panther fit. Both Dave and Dan feel very confident with the way things went in free agency. They like the acquisitions. They know they didn't get everyone. Speaking of everyone, Stephon Gilmore, that name came up. Said they're still going to possibly talk about him after the draft. So we'll see. You know, I have a feeling that means we're going to be looking at drafting a cornerback, but it also makes sense to me to bring him in as well. But they're leaving the door open there. Now we're talking about Panther fit, getting the best prospects available, which is a great position. And like we talked about this numerous times, that I think the roster is good enough in I'm not going to say it's great, but it's good enough in every position, which is what they just said, which does allow them to go into this. And if it's a cornerback, if it's a, and it's hard to say nose tackle or defensive tackle, but if it is a playmaking Panther fit baller that's just sitting there at pick 33, you're going to take him, or pick 39. Like, you've got your choice. And I saw, you know, some folks trying to speculate because Dan Morgan, I listened to it. Dan Morgan did not officially rule out trading up into the first round, but it's very hard to imagine the Panthers trading up. Like, we are in the space that we're in right now is keeping resources, not trading draft capital away. Like, don't be trading stuff away. It does open up the, but where I was going with that is when you talk about trading up, like, people were saying, oh, I do think there's a possibility, but I'm like, no. And I'm like, even if 10 to 11 wide receivers, there's only 32 picks. If 10 to 11, like, for some reason, everybody's just all in on receivers and or people moving up. If 10 or 11 receivers went in that first round, there's still a good amount between 12 and 15, 16 that could be impact players and or starters. And you could probably go a little bit further. That's how deep this wide receiver class is. And yeah, it may not be the pick that you wanted here versus there, but hey, how things are going to play out. The other discussion was like trading down. Here's the thing that I've talked about. If you follow the show, I've talked about we're in a prime position, and it's a better position than any other team. Like, yeah, we don't have the number one pick, but check this out. Day one is going to wrap because it's just the first round. First round's going to wrap. We've got about 20-ish, 21 hours to sit there on pick 33. People are going to see exactly how the board fell, who went where. They're going to see who's left. And our hope as Panthers fans is that there is someone right there that some team's going to call us, hey, Dan, what would you take for pick 33 for us to move up? We'll offer you this, this, this. We hope we're getting lots of those calls. It's a great position to be in. But the thing about it being here is instead of it being 10-minute intervals or like you're just, you know, watching things unfold, you got those 20 hours to sit on it. So you go back home and like, oh yeah, give us your offer. We got all day to talk about this now. We're not having to rush into a decision that we don't want to make. And that is exactly what I like about where they are right now with pick 33. I think they're going to make a trade back at some point, whether it is 33 or 39. Then again, 33 and 39, really good picks, right? Two picks within the top 40 should be starters, NFL caliber starters. And a lot is going to come out to, you know, what do we feel like, who is there? Do they fit the need? Is the player we absolutely are like, yeah, we're all in on this guy. Does a center fall? Does a just off the charts wide receiver sit there? A cornerback, an edge? Like who is where? And that's one of the fun things about the draft. And speaking of the draft, I should have plugged this way, way earlier. As far as like going live, I plan to officially go live not the day of the draft, because like the Panthers aren't drafting. I guess I could go, you know, just digest like what's happening. Maybe fun, but my plan is to go live the Friday night, which is round 2 and 3, to pick 33. If the Panthers, you know, decide to take it, we'll be there. We'll be there if they trade. Pick 39, so that's early. And then right there at pick 65. So I think a lot of things could change. I don't know if I'll be able to go the full 3 hours streaming because, one, I got to sleep and family and all that. We'll see what we can do. I am hoping at the end of day one, at the end of the draft, I don't think it'll be at 11 o'clock at night. It could be because I'll stay up that late to watch it. I may do a quick video either that night or that morning to, hey, this is your breakdown of who I think the Panthers are going to be looking at in day two, which is rounds 2 and 3. As far as Saturday, Saturday moves so fast. You're talking like 5 minutes in between picks or 3 minutes. I can't remember. I think it's five. It's 10, 7, 5, I think. Don't have it right in front of me. And there, at least if things like stand where they are between round 5 and round 7, it's a, like, what, 80 picks between the Panthers, like 142 and 240, or almost 100. Gosh, it's a big gap. So I'm like, eh, I don't think I'm going to sit around all day Saturday. But I will, as, you know, post-draft analysis, we will have that. I'm also working with another group of content creators for a May 5th just live stream to get everyone together. Let's all talk about what we saw, what we heard, well, you know, happy, mad, sad, whatever it is. So that'll be fun. Going back to the Carolina Panthers in this presser, talk a little bit about Austin Corbett. He came up. Now, remember, Austin played center. That was his original position when he was drafted by Cleveland. Did that for a little bit. No, it's been a while. The team feels good about him. But they also hinted at, like, hey, if there's a center there, we're going to take him. Their philosophy is, like, we are not going to be stagnant. If there's a way to improve here and here and or put pressure on the team, they're going to do it, like, on the current guys that are in the roster. He said, what you'll see happen when you bring in that rookie that's underneath, guys are going to kind of sit up, get a little more straight, right? And talking about the guys that are on the roster, watching their back. Because that's exactly what's going to happen is they bring on these guys, the pressure's going to be sitting right there on them to perform. And you're like, oh, I really do need to step up my game. So I like the idea of getting better across the board. Another, you know, emphasis was around Bryce. And are you building around Bryce? No, we're building around the team. It's a team game. You just want Bryce to be able to go out there and do his 111. If you've not heard him talk about his 111, speaking of Dave Canales, that's another big talking point of his, doing your 111, which, hey, there's 11 players on the field. You do your job, and everybody does their job. You're, you know, performing at 100% capacity, right? Which is perfect, perfect for the team. Now, I think that was almost everything that came through. Now, let's go back and take a look here at some of the comments. So I tried to pull a few quotes out of the pressers from this week. And so I'll bring a few of those to light and add some context. One, A'shaun Robinson, he emphasized that he may be built like a nose tackle, but he has never been a nose tackle, and that's not his position. So he said he moves too well to be a nose tackle. So if you're thinking like, hey, is he going to play nose? At least right now, I think that's shy total to lock down. So you're now looking at Robinson being opposite side of Brown, Derek Brown on the line. Knowing the coaches and knowing the scheme have been a big talking point about the notable free agents. And I don't even think you had to look to a press conference to understand that, hey, this player is tied to this coach, Jerry Rivera. And that's a lot of what we've seen, but that's been the major thread of, like, why do you want to come here? It's like, well, I knew the coaching staff. I like the scheme. That's coming from Robinson. It's coming from Josie Jewell, coming from Jackson, all those ties. Now, Dane Jackson, a little bit different. It was more or less coming from, hey, I knew Dan Morgan. Speaking of Josie Jewell on why he was playing in Charlotte, it was honestly the coaches. It was familiarity. I wanted to come to a place where I knew people, where I enjoyed their coaching. It felt like I played some of my best ball under their coaching. Speaking of Ejiro Evero, because again, they only played there for 1 year under him, but must have been a really good year. Jesse Jewell on Pete Hansen, who's the linebackers coach, and Ejiro Evero, and again, his impact of coming here. They were definitely big to me coming here and playing. Really enjoyed my time with them, like I said, even though it was 1 year. Got to hear a little bit from Dane Jackson, cornerback. He joked about the Carolina Bills, which was funny to me because you remember the early years when everything, you know, McDermott moves up to Carolina and then he brings a bunch of Carolina players with him. It's funny to hear that reference. Dane Jackson's reason for coming to Charlotte and playing for the Panthers? Very short. Dan Morgan. It was a no-brainer. That was the quote from Dane Jackson. He did talk about Dan Morgan's impact on his career. Because, folks, if you remember, Dan Morgan was the one who pounded the table, and it's been brought up a few times, for Dane Jackson when Dan Morgan was in Buffalo. He's been a great influence in my career. I'd love to thank him a lot, you know, for just giving me a chance. He was a big advocate for me when he was in Buffalo. Great to hear. I'm going to skip to the other quotes here in a second, but hey, give it just a random shout out to Taylor Moten for the heck of it. Panthers posted Swift Taylor with a reference to Taylor Swift and her new album that she put out. So there you go, folks. Also, let's take a minute. I'm getting down to the other. Shout out to Shane McCormick. He's from the Fantasy Football Roadshow, the podcast that I joined a few weeks ago. He said, what if I told you Deontay Johnson had 7 top 25 fantasy wide receiver finishes in his last 12 games? That's the same number as Olave. It's more than Ayuk, Devontae Smith, and Amari Cooper. He's probably going to get better quarterback play this year, which will be an improvement on those numbers. So another good thing to look out for, right? I'm getting back down here to a few more quotes if I can get there. And oh, what's up with Detroit? Detroit Lions taking our jersey combo. I don't get that. Like, what the heck are y'all doing? All right, slowly getting there, folks. Maybe. Maybe, just maybe. Trying to find. Oh my goodness. I guess it was it was much further back. Looking at. Oh, well, I may have to call it. I did pull quotes, but man, here we go. We did hear from Goodwin speaking on Icky. Year one, it's tough. He comes in and he plays a hot position in the NFL. There's a lot of pressure from coaches, a lot of pressure from people on the outside. As far as fans and the media, he just got to relax and just get better at the fundamentals. This was him talking about Icky's play, and he goes on to talk about year two and what he would hope to see in year three. But Harold Goodwin is excited to be home. He said, I just want everybody to know I'm excited to be home. I'm from Columbia, South Carolina. Coming to the Carolina Panthers is like a dream come true, and I'm just excited for the journey and can't wait to get started on the field. Give you 1 second. And again, he is the assistant head coach and run game coordinator. We also heard from Brad Idzik, who is the offensive coordinator. Again, ties to Dave Canales, played at Wake Forest. Idzik on traits for a good tight end. We really don't want to pigeonhole ourselves in saying we need a route runner, we need a blocker, we want the guy who can do this or that. He goes on to reference the need for the tight end to be able to go out on any personnel groupings. He also talked about the wide receiver class. I think top to bottom, this is a really deep receiver class. We're really excited. Rob Moore has done a phenomenal job evaluating these guys. So has Nate Carroll. It's nice having a lot of eyes on the film and a lot of crossover. I also had a fun fact. He said, every year we evaluate all the quarterbacks in the draft as if we needed one. I think that's a healthy process to go through when you're in the NFL. Big headline if you wanted it to be. But he does go on to highlight the importance of using this information for game planning. So not necessarily needing a quarterback. Also big impact on his life, Jim Grobe, who was the head coach of Wake Forest. I had the opportunity when I was in high school to go watch the Wake Forest football team practice. Like, our football team went and watched them because that was when Wake was very successful. Jim Grubb to this day continues to reach out. And I think it's the personal effect that he brought to coaching that really, for me, kind of opened up the door when I was a senior trying to figure out what to do next. So I think those are the biggest quotes that we've got coming out. Let's see here as I scroll back through my notes. Should probably consolidate these. There was some. Here we go. Jersey numbers. If you're a fan of jersey numbers, hey, it's good to know who's on the field. We got all the new numbers. Deontay Johnson, number 5. Clowney, 7. Fuller, 20. Scott, 21. Nick Scott, that is. Dane Jackson, 23. Kalevon Chasen, 45. Jewel, 47. Hunt, 50. Lewis, 68. Yash, 77. David Moore, 83. Robinson, 94. And Wonum, 98. So go get your jerseys, maybe. I don't know about that. I don't know if you want to buy a jersey, considering how the Panthers sometimes like to trade away talent, right? It's all right. Okay, folks, I'm going to look at this latest mock draft on Panthers Wire today. Panthers 2024 Mock Draft 8.0 Panther Fit Edition. And it looks like we are starting off this draft with a trade. Pick 39. They have second round pick. Mike Sainristil, cornerback out of Michigan. 5'9", 182, smaller frame, but he does fit the Carolina defense and their needs. Pick number 44, which was acquired via trade, they have Jalen Polk, wide receiver out of Washington. Doubling down on wide receiver with pick 65, Malachi Corley. Then, again, from trading back, we have Austin Booker, edge out of Kansas with pick 77. I like that. Pick 101, and Jeremiah Trotter, linebacker out of Clemson. Audric Esteem, running back out of Notre Dame with 141. Bo Lemer, center out of Arkansas. I've seen people who are Arkansas fans, not a fan, but that's your fifth rounder. And closing it out with Tanner McLaughlin, tight end out of Arizona. And it's mock draft season, folks. If you follow the go live. If you follow my live videos, I will be doing more detailed discussion around the draft. I will put out my final mock draft next week. So I have another video coming. I'll post it out on all the YouTubes, the podcast platforms, all that fun stuff. And yeah, I think that's gonna wrap for today's episode. I could probably sit here all day long and just continue to talk, but I'm going to call it a day as I get ready to actually go live here, although you won't know that I'm going live, but I'm getting ready to go live. Anyways, folks, this is Carolina Dad. Y'all have a good one.